Timothy chapter 3. I don't really have a message this morning. I just want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about the time. The time. The time is mentioned in chapter 3, verse 1, and describes it. And time is mentioned in chapter 4, verse 3, and describes it. We're going to compare those two. Chapter 3, verse 1 tells us about time and describes it. Chapter 4, verse 3 talks about time and describes it. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank Thee this morning for this beautiful Sunday morning here as we close out the month of November. Lord, life is passing us by very quickly, and we are preparing our hearts to see You. We believe Your return is nigh at hand. And as that day draws closer and closer, society, the world, and all that's involved with it grows darker and darker. But the light shines the brightest in the darkest of the hour. So help us with our lights to shine in this dark, dark world in which we live. Most of this world has no clue what's happening, has no clue what's going on. And Lord, we as Thy people, we don't understand a whole lot of it. We just know that things must come to pass in the last days for Your return to come. This earth must be prepared for a false Christ, as we as Thy people come to be with You, the true Christ. Lord, take this little study this morning as we look at these two times in comparison and help them to realize not only within this building but by way of Facebook and beyond this building that we as Thy people need to keep our hearts in tune and in step with Thee, no matter what may go on in the time. We pray, God, that through the Spirit of God, You take the message today and do Your perfect work and accomplish Your perfect will in every heart and life. For as if there's any that don't know Thee, time's running out. May they turn their hearts to You, whether in this building or beyond. May they come to know Thee as Savior. And Lord, we pray that the Word of God goes forth. We claim the promise it'll never return void. So as it goes forth this morning, we pray that You might accomplish that perfect work and will. I am nothing but a vessel. You come, Holy Spirit, You speak. I thank You that You called me nearly 43 years ago to be a servant of You. And I thank You that through those years You've allowed me to represent the voice of God. And I pray today that Your voice may be heard in the hearts of people and may Your will be accomplished, we pray. To the glory of Christ, in whose name we pray, amen. There's people that actually believe that as the clock strikes midnight on December the 31st, that all this is going to go away and we're going to start a new year and it's going to be all glory and great. There are people that really believe that. Do you ever hear about carrying baggage? I've heard a young girl say, I married a man that had a lot of baggage that I did not know about. What's in the closet? I've heard the same about a boy marrying a girl. And wow, she had a lot of baggage that I had no clue about. Carry over. Things that carry over. Baggage. I want to tell you, my friend, 2020 may pass, but the problems that's in it will continue and continue to grow worse. Normality of life changed in this country in September of 2001 and around the world. And for the last 20 years, we have been going through a series of transformations and how we conduct life and how we live and society, and it's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better. We're never going to go back to what we know as a normality. I talked to somebody here just this past week, and they talking about when we grew up back in the late 40s, the 50s, and how life was. And it's not wise to compare, and it's not wise to say the better days were better than these. Each day is exactly what you make it. Happiness is a choice. Happiness is a choice. And there is a book out. I used to have it, but it's in Romania. I left it over there when I came back. I had about a 6,000-volume library I left over there for the pastors and the students and everybody. I didn't bring a book home except my Bible. I left them all over there. But I had that book, Happiness is a Choice. And we can either choose to be miserable, or we can choose to be with the Lord in the joy of the Lord. And of course, joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. So as we approach the end of this year, and we are now about to look into a new year, I just want to remind everyone, this is not all going away. This is not all going to go away. And so in chapter 3, verse 1, perilous times. Both of these are in the future tense. Chapter 3, verse 1, and chapter 4, verse 3. Both are in the future tense. Shall come, will come. And I say today, as a preacher of the gospel of Christ, a minister of the Word of God, I believe the times have arrived. I believe we are living in them. We saw last Sunday night the fig tree, and we're going to take another look at it briefly tonight as we look at our third tree representing the nation of Israel. And the time that the fig tree represented, we're in them. And we showed that last Sunday night. We're in them. Now, perilous, and I've mentioned this before, is a word that means a trying, a test, a wearing. It'll wear you out. It'll wear you down. It'll work on you. It will try and defeat you. That's the kind of time. We're not talking about a clock. We're talking about condition of society. Condition of society. It shall come. Now, all you have to do, and I don't have the time this morning, but all you have to do is look at the list of the characteristics of society that follow, and there's about 20 of them, and you say, wow, we're there. We're there. Like I did last Sunday night with the fig tree. I just showed things that happened, and we're there. We're there. So the days will come, he told Timothy, and that's been over 2,000 years ago. There's going to be time that's going to come, what's going to wear on people emotionally, physically, mentally, and sometimes economically. It'll wear, but it should never wear on people spiritually if we're spiritual. These times should never wear on people spiritually if people are spiritual. Dean made a statement before he sang that song, "Oh, What a Savior." The people that are closest to God are the quickest to realize their faults. People that are closest to God are people that are first to realize their weaknesses and shortcomings. And we all have them. People that are not close to God try to justify, excuse, point fingers, whatever. And it is a time to draw nigh to God. It's a time to draw nigh unto God. I want to read a verse before I turn back to 1 Timothy. And I've read this many times, and I want to share it with you this morning. It's in chapter 3. And verse 13, evil men, I have been preaching a lot this year, and people have commented to me about the messages that have been brought from this pulpit this year. I get my messages from God. I get my messages from God. I don't say that arrogantly. I don't say that braggingly. I just say that honestly. I get alone by myself with a pen, a piece of paper, and my Bible and the Holy Spirit. And that's it. That's it. Because I want what comes out and across this pulpit to be His voice. A lot of teaching and preaching today is saturated with opinionations, speculations, scenarios of philosophy, philosophical baloney. I want whoever's in this building and who listens beyond this building to hear from Him, not me. And people have commented to me, not only on Sunday mornings and frosty Sunday mornings, Sunday schools, and Sunday night and the Wednesday night Bible studies, there seems to have been a trend of more in-depth, more heart, more desire. And many times we live through it, we don't notice it. Many times when you're in, you don't notice what's on the out. And I didn't know. I haven't paid any attention because I just preach what God gives me. But these times will be visited by evil men. And I have said, and I say again this morning, and Frosty and I talking this morning before we had prayer, it's a battle, not only in this country, but around the world, of good and evil. It's a battle between good and evil. And sad to say, many people are not close enough to God to differentiate and discern the differences between the two. If you stand for what the world stands for, you're standing on the wrong side of God. How many times have you heard me say that this year? If you stand for what God's against, you're standing on the wrong side of God. And that's not a popular place to be, knowing that you could leave this earth at any moment and be in His presence. Evil men, but it goes on, seducers, seductive. Normally we put, and I don't say this to be a feminist, I don't say this for any wrong reason, but normally seducing back when I was a kid growing up, didn't even know what the word meant, but grew up as a teenager and a young man. It was normally in the realm of a female. This is in the realm of men. Seducing. I've told the girls at the Bible college when I taught family living. I said, you possess the greatest power in all the world. You're more powerful than any individual girl in this class. You have more power than any president. You've got more power than any king. You've got more power than any politician. You've got the power of influence. Influence. This is men. And they're evil. This is what makes the times so peerless, that wears on you. If you're close to God and you're spiritual and your heart is saturated with spiritual things and your mind is saturated with spiritual things, and yet you have to live in a world and in a society where, as it was in the days of Noah, there only evil. The thoughts of men were only evil continually. Genesis chapter 6 says. You have to live in that environment. You have to live in it. And they're very seductive. And they're very persuasive. Evil men. Seducers. They're going to wax. And I don't mean wax a car. That means it's going to grow. It's going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, my friend, there we are. Perilous times. Now, let me give you a remedy for that. Back in 1 Timothy, hold your finger right there. Well, it was there this morning. Well, I'll just have to read it. I'll just have to quote it. Draw nigh unto God. I'm going to teach you a principle. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Now I ask you, and I don't ask you to speak out loud. I want you just answer that within your own heart. Who must take the first step? You answer it in your own heart. The verse says, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Who must take the first step? Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Peerless times are going to be times when evil men are going to get worse and worse. And they're seducers. They're seductive. This is all in preparation for the man of sin. The great orator who will appear on the earth after we're gone, after the church is gone and taken out, when the church has disappeared, there will step on the scene a great orator, a great man. He's called the man of sin, the son of perdition. Biblically, the Antichrist. He's going to be a great orator. And he's going to deceive the whole world. He's even going to deceive the nation of Israel, believing that he is the true Messiah. Deceiving. You ever been deceived? Someone ever deceive you? Maybe a close friend, family, somebody. It's not fun, is it, to be deceived? And the deception comes in a seductive way, which means they did it on purpose. They knew exactly what they were doing. The seducing indicates they knew exactly what they were doing in attempting to deceive us. The answer to that, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Gene, you found it. Where is it?
James 4:8,
and I was looking in Timothy. So you can write that down if you want to know it. James 4:8, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. And you have to ask yourself and be honest with yourself, who must take the initiative? Who must start the process? Right here. Right here. He will draw nigh unto us if we have a desire to draw nigh unto Him. Christianity, and that word is used very loosely, like fundamentalism, very loosely, and identified with every sector of life today, in the political realm, in the sports realm, in the religious realm. Fundamentalism used to mean something. Today it don't mean anything. Christianity today don't mean a thing. It doesn't mean a thing. Christianity. God has never forced Himself on anyone. He has always simply come to man, invited man, and tried to reason with man. That's all He's ever done. He's never forced Himself on anyone. So if I'm going to get close to God, I've got to take the initiative. In these times in which we live. And if you think, and I've said this all year since back when we started back after 2 month shutdown, when we started back in May, I've said, if you think 2020 is bad, you just wait to see what's coming in 2021. It's going to be like a Sunday school picnic. And if we're still on the earth in 2022, it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And there's religions out there, and they're on social media, and they're on television and radio. It's telling everybody things are going to get better, things are going to get better, things are going to get better. Hey, got to get your head out of the sand and get your head in the Bible and your heart close to God if you want to survive this. People that wander far off will wander away. People who wander afar off will wander away. And then they'll wonder, what happened? What happened? Peter followed afar off. Oh, he was following, but he followed afar off, and then he completely followed out. And then he sat and wept bitterly and said, where did I go wrong? People who follow far off will follow away and wonder what happened. Draw nigh unto God. If there's ever a time when God's people need to draw nigh unto Him, it's now. I don't know what's in God's mind and what's God's will for this country in the upcoming months, year. I have no idea. I'm not God, and I'm not predicting. I know what I would like. But I have no idea what's on the program of God and what God's plan is for the country. But I do know Him. I know Him. As the old song says, I know not tomorrow, but I know who holds it. And that's where you better be, my friend. That's where you better be. Because evil men, I don't have the time. You can read down through, there's about 20 different identities of society. And boy, we're there. We're there. And one of those in verse 2 is unthankful. Unthankful. Here at this Thanksgiving season that we just passed through, one of the identities of these perilous times will be unthankful. Unthankful. But I want you to notice in verse 13, this is going to get worse and worse. It's being done on purpose. Seducing has a motive of achievement, and that is for the purpose of deceiving. Deceiving. In the American state that it is in, as I speak this morning, is one of its darkest hours. And it's only going to grow worse and worse and worse. Now, I have to be careful what I say publicly. We have a legal team of lawyers that represent me in this ministry. I never want to have to use them. So I have to be very careful what I say publicly and on the air. But on a Sunday morning in December, on December the 20th, after the cantata, I'm going to have a message to our church that will not be on Facebook. It will not be on Facebook. It's going to be on December the 20th, the morning of the cantata. Some things I want to say to our church that I cannot say publicly and on the air. You want to hear it? Be here. We are facing a time in this country, and this country has been through a lot in its 200 plus years of existence. But we're facing a day in this country where people don't know what the truth is. I want to show you now another concept of this. And it says, they resist the truth. They resist the truth. That's what they did in the book of Romans chapter 1. They held and suppressed the truth. They changed the truth. And then they resist the truth. Resist it. This is what evil men do. Evil men never deal in truth. Now you can make the applications in your own heart compared to what's going on in our country. I'm not going to do that. But evil men never acknowledge the truth. Evil men who create perilous times resist the truth so that their deceiving, seductive plan and program can be pushed forward. And I hope you can make applications. I stand amazed. As the song says concerning God's love, I stand amazed. This is not an amazement concerning God's love. I stand amazed at people that call themselves Christians and stand on the wrong side of God. I am a Christian. If you are a Christian, then why are you standing with evil men who wax worse and worse, seducing and never acknowledging the truth but know exactly what they're doing. The problem is you don't, because you are deceived. Anyone, and I say this as boldly as I can say it, anyone who is for murdering an unborn child in the womb of a mother is of the devil. Anyone who is for, promotes, funds, in any way seduces innocent people to murder innocent little babies inside the womb of a mother is of the devil. And I make no apologies for that. Life is precious. Life came from God. And there is to be a reverence for life. There is to be that protection of life. Every child conceived is protected under the Constitution, whether they're in the womb or out of the womb. They're protected under the Constitution. It's a violation. Murdering a child inside the womb is a violation of our Constitution. Evil men shall wax worse and worse, seducing, knowing the motivation, and it's for the purpose of deceiving, and while they do it, they resist the truth. Evil men. By the way, if you want to see the resisting of the truth, it is in verse 8, chapter 3, verse 8. Resist the truth. Now you can understand that in society. That's our first time. Peerless time. Peerless time. It shall come. And all you have to do is read down through that list of about 20 different things. And you can say, wow, we're there. We're there. Resisting the truth. Now in chapter 4, verse 3, there's another time. The time will come. Shall come, will come. Didn't say possibly come, might come, shall come, will come. When they will not endure. And that word endure means to tolerate. Tolerate. They will not tolerate sound doctrine. And the word sound is a medical term, which means healthy. Healthy. It means teaching, spiritual teaching that brings health to the spiritual life. That's what the word sound means. It's sound doctrine. It's healthy. It's that which causes me to be spiritually strong. Sound doctrine. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they, heaped in themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. There's ones that resist the truth, and there's ones that turn away from the truth. I don't like what I heard. I don't like that kind of preaching. I'm not indicating, and I'm not the only preacher that's ever went through this. But that's like, and that's not indicating that I'm God, but that's like it, that's like putting a face up toward God and saying, I don't like what you have to say. And if the man standing in the pulpit, whether it's me or whoever, if we can't believe that man standing up there has a message for my heart this morning from God Almighty to my heart, if I don't believe that, then get rid of him. Get him out. Because we don't want to hear from man, we want to hear from God. Amen? And if I can't honestly say I come into the church building and I sit down and I know what I'm going to hear, it comes from God. And how do I know it comes from God? Because it's changing me. It's helping me spiritually. It's moving me forward spiritually. It's doing things in my spiritual life. So he's not perfect because there is no perfect man. And it didn't take long for you to figure that out. But the message that comes across this pulpit for the last 9 years has come from God Almighty. And there's people that have said, I don't like that kind of preaching. I don't like what's taught. I'll turn away from it. They shall turn away from the truth. So in the peerless times, you have the resisting of the truth. And in the enduring times, you have a turning away from the truth. But did you notice something? Even though they resisted in the peerless times and they turn away from it in the enduring times, God's word still stands. And that's what's right in the middle of the two times. And it's one of those 3:16. And 2 Timothy 3:16. Right in the middle of the two times. The peerless times, the enduring times. You know, it's bad enough that we endure these seducers and these evil people. These evil people that are so seductive and they're great orators. And they've got motives and programs and plans that innocent people that have been duped and deceived don't have a clue what more evil is coming down the path. And I'll guarantee you, not one policy will ever be on the right side of God. Not one policy will ever support spirituality. Not one policy will ever be for God. Evil men don't promote goodness. Evil people don't promote good things. But their great oration and their popularity and their person is so syrupy. So syrupy. I told the Romanians, I said, don't pour that syrup on me because it won't work. You can pour the syrup on, but the syrup will not get a George Washington out of my pocket. I'll tell you what will get a George Washington out of my pocket. When I see in your life that you're serious, spiritual, and you want to serve the Lord. They're so syrupy. Boy, they're very clever. They got an agenda. And it's not good. It's evil. It's evil. And they resist the truth. That's evident today. That's absolutely evident today. And it's in every kind of phase of life, all the way from the Washington swamp, all the way down through society down below. It is through everything. Nobody wants to know the truth. And society is being so duped. Who do you believe?
That was one of the great artistic maneuvers of Marxism with communistic socialism, was to break down the trust to who you believe and who you can't believe. That was one of the Marxist great maneuvering. Break down the trust that you don't know who to believe. And a husband would wake up one day and realize his wife has been the informant. She has been working for the Gestapo's. Or vice versa, a wife may wake up one day and find that their son has been working with the Gestapo's and the secret police. And he's been the informant of the town and working for them. And they got to go about ballistic and they say, how can this happen in our family? That's exactly what happened, where a husband couldn't trust his wife and a wife couldn't trust her husband. They couldn't trust their children and nobody walked, nobody talked, nobody even whispered. Because I may say something that incriminate me and I don't want them on my doorstep. Break down the trust. Hey, I know. I lived in it. I experienced it. I saw it. I was in a room in an airport. There was over 200 people ready to board that plane. You could hear a pin drop. Under communism, in 1988, in Bucharest, the capital of Romania, I was in a boarding room area and no one, everyone just sat with their head down like this. You could hear a pin drop. Nobody would talk because you didn't know if that person sitting beside of you or there, who they were, who they represented, who they were with. Were they working for the Gestapo's or were they really? You didn't know. That's what's being developed in our country today. The breakdown of trust. But there's something you can trust. It's in John, it's in 2 Timothy 3:16. The answer, listen, the answer for perilous times is draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. And the answer for the enduring times is get this book and saturate your hearts and minds with it. That's the answer. If you want to survive, and you listen, you wake up someday and realize I've been on the wrong side of God. I thought I was right. I thought I was doing right. I thought this was, I was the same. And you find yourself, I'm on the wrong side of God. So the answer, all Scripture. There's the answer. All Scripture. All Scripture. And there's people all over this country this morning never had a thought about going to church. Never even entertained their mind. Never entertained their thought about going to church. Got up this morning, just another day, living in this great land of America. Never had one thought. What's on their mind? The virus. The political sham that we're in. All of the uncertainty of tomorrow. I'm so sick of hearing virus, I about vomit every time I hear it. Every sniffle, every bronchitis, every flu, every type of headache, they're all thrown in one basket called the virus, because the more viruses, the more money. It's all about the money. So if you got a runny nose, you've got the virus. That's the numbers. And it's coming out. It's seeping out from underneath the rug. And there's people that won't believe it, but that's what it is. It's come from. They're throwing it on our governor, even indicated it. He let it slip. But I caught it. They're just throwing them all in one basket. Now, is it dangerous? Absolutely. Does it kill? Absolutely. Should we be safe? Absolutely. And be smart. But you can't believe. You can't believe. Who do you believe?
Who do you trust?
Right here. This world is going to get so bad, the true Christian, the true born-again Christian is going to be driven by this perilous time and this enduring time. The ones that want to be spiritual and close to God, it's going to drive them. I'm not going underground. I'm going up to heaven. Listen, I'll stand if I stand alone. I told this to a person not long ago. If I have to stand alone, I'll stand alone. I'll stand with him. Because I'm not going underground to serve or to preach or to teach. I'm going to stay above ground and I'm going to let my voice be heard for God, because they can't do anything to me except graduate me to heaven. Period. Right here's the answer. Draw nigh to God for perilous times, all scripture for enduring times. And it says all scripture. So we can't pick and choose. When you go to a buffet bar, you pick and choose. You pick and choose. Back a few years ago when Claude and I was out on visitation, I told this. This actually happened to me. And after we would go on visitation, Claude would always look at me and say, "Well, which restaurant today?" So we were in Zanesville. My vehicle just happened to be right across, I won't say, just right across from Lowe's. And we went in there, and we sat down, we had prayer. I grabbed a plate and went up, and as I was going down that bar, and I was looking what they had, and not everything's inviting to me, some lady took tongs, reached underneath that glass all the way over, and put something on my plate. She did. And I stepped back and looked at her. And just went on. I didn't want to, because there were servers around her and it was on my plate, I didn't want to put it back in the bowl. Bar. I went back and told Claude that. You know, my mind don't think like this. And I told Claude, and he said, "She was sending you a message." I said, "You know, it took me about a month to figure out what he was saying." Oh, boy. You can't pick and choose the Word of God, what you want and what you don't want. All Scripture. All Scripture. And I'll guarantee you and promise you, as pastor of the First Baptist Church, that when you come to this building and you come to this services, whatever it be, how often it is, you're going to hear from God. If I didn't believe that, I'd close my Bible, go out the door, and never look back. We're going to hear from God. We're going to hear, and we'll never go underground. We'll fight. This is the greatest sword. It's got two edges. This is the greatest sword right here. I'm going to say some things on December the 20th. Gets right down where we live. But I'm keeping them off the air. So, perilous times and enduring times. The perilous times draw nigh to God. The enduring times, get a hold of this book, Scripture. It says it's profitable. It's profitable. Amen? Amen. We're going to be saying goodbye to